The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Challenging, thought-provoking, insightful. This is God in Country, the collision of faith and politics, hosted by nationally known speaker, Reverend Dr. Sean Michael Greener. Not your typical Rev. Dr. Sean is a proud military veteran, former law enforcement officer, and founder of the internationally regarded Executive Protection Team. Through counseling, elite life coaching, and national speaking, this ninja pastor tells it like it is. This series is biblically and politically engaged with the pedal to the metal. With today's edition of God in Country, here is host and author of the acclaimed yet controversial book, Excellence Killed the Church, How Mediocrity is Destroying America, Dr. Sean Michael Greener. Challenging, thought-provoking, insightful. This is God in Country, the collision of faith and politics, hosted by nationally known speaker, Reverend Dr. Sean Michael Greener. Not your typical Rev. Dr. Sean is a proud military veteran, former law enforcement officer, and founder of the internationally regarded Executive Protection Team. Through counseling, elite life coaching, and national speaking, this ninja pastor tells it like it is. This series is biblically and politically engaged with the pedal to the metal. With today's edition of God in Country, here is host and author of the acclaimed yet controversial book, Excellence Killed the Church, How Mediocrity is Destroying America, Dr. Sean Michael Greener. Challenging, thought-provoking, insightful. This is God in Country, the collision of faith and politics, hosted by nationally known speaker, Reverend Dr. Sean Michael Greener. Not your typical Rev. Dr. Sean is a proud military veteran, former law enforcement officer, and founder of the internationally regarded Executive Protection Team. Through counseling, elite life coaching, and national speaking, this ninja pastor tells it like it is. This series is biblically and politically engaged with the pedal to the metal. With today's edition of God in Country, here is host and author of the acclaimed yet controversial book, Excellence Killed the Church, How Mediocrity is Destroying America, Dr. Sean Michael Greener.
All right. Can anybody hear me at all? I am hoping that you can. All right. Let me try to connect. Janie, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, awesome. We just had a major, major kind of crash between the interface and the, and for folks out there listening, I am terribly sorry. We were all set and ready to go, and we had a major interface crash. It has never happened before, but it happened now, and that's a bummer. So hopefully you all can kind of catch up from where we are. So you heard our great intro music. We heard our great announcer and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, everything went black. So we'll get over it. I know you have somewhere to be. Everybody, you know that this is the Collision of Faith and Politics, and apparently some technical snafus that were impossible to defeat. So I actually am calling in on a phone line. So we're sharing a phone line now. So I apologize for any sound problems, but at least we can be heard. Okay, there we go. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right. Perfect, perfect, perfect. We've got people logging in now. So I apologize for that. What a bummer. And so we'll get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're very fortunate now. We have Janie. How do I pronounce your last name? Maedler?
Yep, that's perfect.
Awesome, awesome. And her whole life changed because of one thing, one very, very controversial thing. And she is the president of Riley Smile Foundation, which is a nonprofit 501c3 that her young daughter Riley founded. She's also a founder in Riley Sunshine LLC, a medical cannabis manufacturing and research company in San Diego, California. She is a policy advisor, and so far she's pushed through Riley's Law, the school law, SB 181, and helped House Bill 210 get through. And she just submitted an autism petition yesterday, yesterday. She does autism cannabis consulting for various companies throughout the United States, and she is an international speaker on pediatric cannabis therapy. And so I'm glad that you're with us. Let me just say this, and it is interesting to me that we had this kind of trouble today. We never have this kind of trouble, and I have all kinds of fancy top-dollar equipment that and by the way, chat is open. You guys, sorry for the inconvenience, and hang in there. Thank you very much for your patience. And but needless to say, and I did announce this. This was a very late edition, but I think that quite possibly one of the reasons why we may have had so much trouble is this is going to be obviously a very controversial show for a whole lot of people. And the reason it will be is, number one, we're going to be talking about cannabis first. Now, we're going to still talk about what's been going on in the country. We're somewhat limited on time with our guests. That's why I'm so frustrated that we had all these problems. But one of the reasons why it's so controversial is because we're going to be talking about cannabis. And anytime a conservative Christian, let alone a conservative Christian pastor, anytime you hear any conversation about cannabis, you are undoubtedly going to hear a whole different approach. You're going to hear how terrible it is, how sinful, all of these different things. You're going to hear a whole lot of things that unfortunately don't match reality. And a pastor has really a choice to make, quite frankly. And Jeannie, I know that probably as we get into what your situation actually was, people will be very moved and very touched by it because you're a person of faith as well. But as a pastor, mm-hmm. I've taken so much heat for my stance on this, and that's okay because I had a decision to make. Am I going to speak the truth, or am I going to just go full on out and unplug from reality in order to preserve my national, I don't know, persona, I guess we would say, and my reputation and all that stuff. But I have to tell you, I just decided against it. I decided against it for a lot of reasons, not the least of which were actually, you know, personal reasons, as well as professional and academic research and all of these things that I set out to do. And after 2 years of research, I was really blown away by what I learned. And then we have a mutual friend, and he was so kind to connect us, and I'm really honored by it. So, Janie, tell me, if you don't mind, and tell our audience, if you don't mind, tell us the story of how this cannabis came to be in your life. I mean, what is the story here? Because I'm sure people are going, well, how the heck did this happen?
Well, my daughter was diagnosed with an extremely rare aggressive bone tumor in 2013. And originally we were told that she had limited time, and the hospital was going to operate on her and have a chemo port installed, but that was pretty much a Hail Mary. And they had expressed to us, you know, enjoy your time. This is a late stages cancer. And even though they were wrong on the diagnosis was still very grim. She ended up not having to technically have chemo, even though chemo is a treatment for the type of tumor that she had. In the end, we did have a choice in how we were going to treat her. But the type of tumor that she had, it did have to be removed or else it was going to be life-threatening. But it's very disfiguring to the face. It was about a quarter of her face was removed. And
wow.
So we were faced with a situation where no longer was she going to lose her life, but we were going to be left with a very disfigured child who would have complications down the road with eating, any of those complications that followed, nerve endings. She did end up having seizures from the treatment. But when they originally had told us to pretty much enjoy your time, we're going to do this Hail Mary chemo treatment, this type of cancer has no good survival rate, and this is a stage four. You know, I had done all kinds of research. Coming from an extremely religious family, I didn't even talk to my own father about, you know, what I was researching. And I was contacted by a mom who her son was diagnosed with the same type of cancer as rhabdomyosarcoma. And she said, you know, I know a lot of moms who are treating their children with cannabis, and maybe you should think about it. Although she herself was not treating her son with it, and his was in his foot. And I just kind of put it back, you know, in the back of my mind and thought, you know, I'm going to keep thinking about it. I'm going to research. So I started talking to more and more moms, and I couldn't find any negative outcomes from doing this. And I just thought, you know, I'm not going to let my daughter go without trying this. The night that they sent us home, the night before she had her chemo port put in, I remember I laid awake that entire night thinking, I'm not burying my child. So, you know, that's where it came from. I'm not going to bury my child.
Wow.
So we ended up, you know,
Holy moly.
I did end up telling my father, and he's a minister, and I did end up telling him, you know, in my way of, at first he was very against it, and I just said to him, you know, God put this plant on this earth for some reason, and if it was put here to save people, then I'm using it, and there's no reason for us not to use a plant. Then I started researching how many plants are on this earth and used as medicine, and he finally, it started clicking, and he agreed with me, and, you know, he's now one of our biggest cheerleaders, and, you know, you would actually think that, you know, he was actually an extractor himself. You know, he talks very openly about it, and, you know, sometimes I actually have to tell him to hush up, you know, and he was probably the hardest person for me to tell, and he's actually one of our biggest advocates now.
Isn't that something?
So,
isn't that something how when you have truth, when you actually have facts, how things may change? Later on in the show, when the next thing I'm going to talk about, that's the same type of thing. You know, there's a lot of people out there that formulate an opinion based on traditional beliefs, beliefs that were kind of put into their head from other sources that were incorrect. And so, you know, we believe those things foolishly. We do. We mm-hmm. believe those things foolishly. And at some point or another, I think it is very sad, quite frankly, how that goes, because we end up really losing a very important part of ourselves. We lose the part of ourselves that is about truth, you know, that is about truth, the part of ourselves that clings to honesty, even when it doesn't fit our agenda. And that's the big problem here, is there are a lot of folks who they say, look, you know, this is my team here. This is the team I'm on. I'm on the team Christian. I'm on the team conservative. I'm on the team, you know, you don't drink alcohol, you don't do drugs, and certainly we don't do pot, because of course pot is the worst thing ever, because you know that makes you crazy, and that leads to drug dealing, and then that's a gateway drug, and what do you want to sit around and be high all the time for? So there's just all these things, and I think that for whatever reason, on the conservative right, especially the Christian conservative right, people formulate an opinion that they marry themselves to. They hitch their, you know, chain to it. That's the wagon they get hitched to, and they say, "Hey, this is where it's going to be. I'm not wavering from it. I don't need to know any worse. I don't need to know any different, rather." And so then they just do that. So you faced really what is a crushing thing in you know, I can't imagine. Man, I have kids, and I just I don't know. I mean, I pray to God he takes me before anything like this. You're a lot stronger than me, and I can tell you, I don't know. Getting that kind of diagnosis, seeing that kind of thing, that far advanced, and thinking, well, we can't do anything for you. You know, this is what you need to be thinking about. Well, from my point of view, that would be sort of a personal collapse moment for me. Just a true personal collapse moment. I just don't think I would. So tell me, so then this happens. How did you come to learn, specifically learn about cannabis as it relates to this? Who was the link for you?
So I was put into a private group of moms out in California that actually a lot of them were dealing with childhood cancer. And they had formed a group that were just supporting each other. And so there was maybe 60 moms in the group, and we're all still very tight knit and close. And we just were kind of bouncing ideas off of each other. The original mom that I spoke about that had said to me, "Have you ever thought about cannabis?" She actually was in that group, even though she never took that step. She herself was in a situation where her family was very religious. And I think that's actually what held her back from actually trying it, even though she lived in a legal state. But she was in the group. And so we just, all of us kept kind of bouncing ideas back and forth. And when it got to the point where the pathologist, it was one of those things where after that night, I came home and all I could think of was like, how do I make my child not afraid to die? And, you know, what stone have I not turned over? And the only stone I hadn't turned over was the cannabis. When we went back to the doctors to have a report put in, that's when the pathologist came out and said, you know, we're going to halt this. We think something's kind of gone a little strange here. It ended up being a type of tumor that mimics cancer, but is still extremely aggressive and life-threatening. So then I went back to the group and I said, look, moms, you know, this is what I'm dealing with. Would you still use cannabis? And so then all of a sudden, all these moms started shooting me all these research articles on benign breast cancer and all these different tumors that it helped. And I found a research article that Raphael Mechoulam, where he was studying bone regeneration, and I knew that she was going to lose a large portion of the bones in her face. She had already lost a large portion. And, you know, you just start adding up the numbers and you're thinking, gosh, I've got nothing to lose here. And, you know, worst case scenario is this stuff doesn't work, but she's more comfortable. And so we just go ahead and do it with I have all these moms supporting me and bouncing ideas off. So it's really like a collaborative, you know, support. And so the main dilemma that I was facing was finding in an illegal state was finding just lab tested medicine for her. So also in the sense of having this big group of moms all over the United States, that also helped too, because I had a group of angels to help me. And so that's what really got us through that first year. And you know, that they just, we all just became like a little close-knit family.
You talked, and I talked about it when we opened here about, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the earth, and every tree in them, which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And, you know, I think about that, and I talk about that, and I talk about how in Hebrew, cannabis, and some people are sending me messages and saying that what is cannabis? And I'm a little bit surprised by it, not to make fun, but they're asking me, what is cannabis and why is it so controversial? Well, cannabis is marijuana. Cannabis is the actual name for marijuana. Marijuana was a made-up name to vilify it. But the fact of the matter of it is it is absolutely an ancient Hebrew writings. It's all over that. And so in our biblical times, it was talked about. And some other time, I'll do another show, maybe a follow-up show next week, or I'll do another show this week. Who knows? But I want to make it clear that this is, and I'm not hiding this at all, this is, in fact, cannabis is, in fact, marijuana. And there are different components to marijuana. There's THC and there's CBD. Cannabidiol is what a lot of the oils folks are talking about. This will be what people will mention is, oh, yeah, I do use the CBD. I do use that, but I don't use the marijuana. I don't use the part that'll get you high or make you see stars or anything like that, or make you lethargic or lazy or whatever, make you go rob a liquor store. I don't run from that. Now, people that know my story know I actually did die of 2012. I was in a head-on car crash, 92 miles per hour versus 51. I went from 51 miles per hour in 7 feet. I bent the steering wheel despite the airbag with my mouth. I suffered a serious head injury, brain injury, and many, many other injuries. And to be very honest with you, I had health insurance then. Plus, we thought, you know, this is a car accident. It's clearly not my fault. So everything will be taken care of. $1 million coverage through my company. Well, after a year, as in many cases in Delaware, a whole other show could be done on this. They just stopped paying. My own insurance company would stop paying so that I would sue them. They know that 75% of the people that they stop paying will just give up. Well, I couldn't give up. Well, we didn't win. And because it's a contract issue, not a, gee, you really were dealt a bad hand here. Let's go ahead and pay for everything. Suffice it to say, then due to Obamacare, I lost my health insurance. It was a very high deductible health insurance anyway, but in the case of something catastrophic, I would be okay. Well, I lost that. That went away. The company left the state of Delaware, and of course now I have terrible pre-existing conditions that I can never get. I can't get health insurance. And people say, well, get it through Obamacare. Well, I don't have thousands of dollars and $14,000 deductible and all that stuff. So it's kind of ridiculous at this point. All of that to say this, that outside of regular medicine, the pain drugs didn't work. I won't say the drugs because I don't need them to sue me. But I got on these two drugs that are primary drugs for brain injury, for seizures, because I had seizures and all these different things. And they made me a person different than who I am. And they didn't take any pain away, and they didn't help my seizures, and they didn't help me to think any clearer. In fact, I would say and do things that I would never do under any other circumstances. So suffice it to say, at that point, I'm wondering, why didn't I die? Why didn't he just kill me in this? You know, that's okay. I'll be in heaven, and my family, you know, they get the life insurance and everything will be fine. And through all of these different things, the doctors did what they knew how to do, which was give you drugs. And I mean drugs that they write a piece of paper, you go to the thing, and you pick up your pharmacy prescription, and all is well. Yeah, probably get addicted to it. Nah, the pain drugs don't work. But that's not really important. It's just this is what we're supposed to prescribe you. This is what society says we're supposed to do. None of it worked. Not a bit of it worked. And I started researching cannabis because I'm very pro-Israel, obviously, and my degrees focus on Hebrew worldview and all of that. So I'm very connected with Israel, and I found out Israel was very, very much on the leading edge of cannabis research. Now, I noticed that there are some articles that talk about you in cannabis in Israel. Can you help me know that connection as you know it?
So I was invited to Israel to speak about Riley, and they wanted me to speak about her recovery and her bone regeneration, because when we started her on cannabis, it was a month after her resection surgery where they removed a ton of the bone and the tumor. And we couldn't tell the doctors what we were doing with her, but they were very shocked at how fast her bones were regenerating. And so we even were sent to Johns Hopkins, and they actually looked over all of her pathology and records and just kept saying, gosh, what are you guys doing? And of course we couldn't say anything. And so I just said, you know, oh, we're using essential oils. And so it was, the doctor over there was wink, wink, you know, keep doing what you're doing. So it wasn't until about a year later that we actually came out in the public and said what we were doing. But to look at her today, she looks completely normal. And we were expecting to have to do multiple reconstructive surgeries, and she hasn't had a single reconstructive surgery. It's been 4 years, and her tumor is stable. The piece of tumor that they couldn't reach that was left behind has shrunk down to almost zilch. She only has a very tiny bit of nerve damage in her little chin, which right now is kind of cute when she dribbles something on her chin and doesn't know it. So she does have seizures, but those are controlled by the cannabis. And we still have her huge bottle of narcotics, which she's never touched. She's just doing great. She's absolutely beautiful. And you would never know her. When she had the surgery, they removed her palate, all of the bone in the left side of her maxilla, the cheek, the bottoms of the eye orbit, the whole sinus area, I mean, everything on that whole left side was removed. And
let me just ask you, where did you have that done? Where did that happen?
That happened at AI DuPont. Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
so they were able to do that and make that happen.
Yeah, what they did was they removed the tumor, and the tumor had already eaten away all of the bone. So they not only had to remove the tumor, but they had to remove all of the bones surrounding it. And they were going to take out the teeth, and she would have to have implants. But when they brought her out, the plastic surgeon said, you know, well, we decided to stitch her teeth into the skin, and they're going to flop around. We don't expect them to live, but, you know, it would be too much of a shock. You know, maybe they'll live. We don't know. We've never done this before. And literally, they had never, ever seen these type of tumors ever. And so they didn't really know what to expect. And we just kind of were sitting and waiting for these teeth to just die. And for some reason, these teeth actually lived. They actually rerooted. There was no roots in these teeth, and they actually rerooted. So she didn't lose any teeth. And she does have to have some jaw work done, because some of the tumor cells got into her jaw socket, she has a little bit of, you know, degeneration in her jaws, her jaw sockets. But other than that, she's, you know, to look at her, she could be a little model. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at her. She's adorable as can be. I would muss her hair and love on her. She's just adorable.
Yeah.
And she's on the cover of Canna Health. You'd never know. Canna Health Magazine, mm-hmm. the May 2017 issue of Canna Health Magazine, and she's profiled in that, and I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's pretty amazing. Now, how do you, and I don't even know the proper for children, but how do you administer the cannabis to her? And first, what is it that you administer? Is it a CBD THC mix? Is it just the CBD oil?
Yeah.
And, you know, where do you get it now?
Well, so fortunately, when we first started out, we were trying to shrink tumor because there was a little bit of tumor left behind. And I really wasn't focused on bone regeneration because I just wasn't focused. I was at first just trying to get rid of this tumor and keep it from coming back because she has over 60% chance of reoccurrence. Now, if it recurs, her hands are kind of tied behind her back. She has to have chemo. So in the beginning, I was just using CBD and THC. But then when we started realizing that she was having seizures, we started weaning down the THC and using whole plant CBD and THCA. And that's when we really started noticing the bone regeneration picking up in speed and really filling in the spots that she needed really fast, and the inflammation coming down. So right now she's on CBD and THCA, and we use it in an oil form. And then we also use a THC and a CBD balm that she rubs on her face. Now, if she has, when we fly to go do speaking events, when the plane goes to descend, she has these air pockets in her bones from where they're not completely regenerated. And the air pockets will go to expand when the plane descends. So we do have to administer a nasal spray. It's a THC nasal spray to help kind of knock her out a little bit so that she can bear the pain.
Get out of town. That's amazing. So isn't it a blessing to have that?
Oh, yeah.
That's absolutely stunning. It's absolutely stunning. May I bring a caller on? I think I know who this is. This is an extremely mm-hmm. intelligent guy, and I know he's probably got an intelligent something to add. Hang one second.
Okay.
This is Dr. Sean. Hello. Let's see here. I don't know if we're whatever. Can you hear me? We're not connecting. Hang on one second. Hello, can you hear me? I tell you, we're doing this show on a shoestring, and it's very, very frustrating, I'll tell you, because we're overwhelming the computer and the systems that I have here, and the show has grown to just under 2 million folks, and I know you must be extremely frustrated at this point, but we actually can't hear oh, my goodness. Today is a day of maximum frustration, isn't it? So can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I do apologize. It normally goes way easier than this, but for whatever reason, I think we operate on a shoestring, and the shoestring broke today. So suffice to say, you have this situation where you have this child of yours, this precious, precious child, who is in desperate need of help, and she, there's just nothing else that can be done for her. You find out about cannabis through caring people. You start doing the cannabis. Other than your dad, what has the response been? Not from people who are I don't want to say receptive to the idea of cannabis, but who are just kind of, I don't even want to say mainstream, because who knows what the mainstream is nowadays, but people that are, for whatever reason, they really, they're not on board, let's just say, or maybe they haven't said where they are, but you know, they're church folk, and know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've had my share of those. Okay, so a few examples.
So how are they responding?
Well, I have a brother and sister who are both police officers who aren't exactly receptive. So we are cordial, and that's about it. that I just have to say that's all. We're cordial. And you would think that after watching their niece, you know, survive through this, that it would be more than that. Then there was a legislator who on the Riley's Law was very, very questioning, and he himself is a minister. And I remember he pulled us aside before it was time to vote, and we had a long talk, and he was going to vote no. And we had just had a long talk about, you know, this being a plant that was put here for some reason, and how
right.
far back, you know, in the Bible, you can even find talk of the marijuana plant and the cannabis plant, and, you know, that how many different medicines there are that are derived from the plant, and that, yes, some people can misuse it, but why should we take this out on an innocent child when, you know, when this child, it could save their life or make such a huge difference in their quality of life? And he actually agreed with me, and he voted yes. And he now is a pro medical cannabis legislator. And so we were able to go around to
awesome.
Every single legislator and talk to them and sit down with them, even if their beliefs were against it for religious reasons. We were able to, you know, get on their level and talk to them about that. And we were able to get unanimous votes on the Riley's Law, which allowed for medical for children. So, you know, that's unheard of because half, you know, so many of them voted no on the adult law, but we just kept working
yeah.
them and saying, you know, how can you let that harm children? You know, you can't take it out on children just because you feel like there's a few people that are actually using it for recreational. You know, we finally got through to some of them, you know, and so then there's a couple of parents who, when the news broke about me using it for my daughter and then us pushing for pediatric use, there is actually a father who, his wife and I were actually friends when, you know, our sons were in class together, and both of our sons were on the autistic spectrum, and her son was further down on the spectrum than my son. My son's more considered Asperger's, and, you know, her son ended up not being able to stay in a regular classroom setting. And I remember he was stocking a shelf, and it was on the front page news, and he turned around and looked at me, and he yelled at me, and he said, "You're the reason for all this marijuana nonsense." And I just took a deep breath.
Hold up, what?
Okay. He said, "You're the reason for all this." He said, "You're the reason for all this marijuana nonsense." And so I just took a deep breath, and here his son is, you know, severely autistic. And I just said, "You know, right now, I know you don't understand things, but I encourage you to go to PubMed and Google autism and cannabis and call me when you need help." And just walked away. And, you know, we still pass each other, but I, you know, they're a very religious family. And, you know, there are those families that just, you know, it's like a wall that just comes right up. And it's so sad because, like, I know personally how much cannabis could help their child. And, you know, it's just such a, it's such a shame. So, but you do run into families, and I know that it's mostly because of their faith or their beliefs as to why that they have put that wall up, and it's their child that will suffer because of it. So.
Well, and so we're talking about a mindset here. So I guess, you know, we should kind of lay that out. What we're really talking about here is a mindset, preconceived notion, that, hey, you know what? I have believed this. I believe that it's nonsense, so it's nonsense. I'm going to continue believing it, whether you think it's nonsense or not, or no matter if anybody says anything different to me, doesn't matter to me. I'm going to still believe this,
right?
Because that's what I mm-hmm. want to believe. And in this particular case, you know, what's interesting to me is originally, when the medical marijuana thing happened in the state of Delaware, several people who had studied it, and they were very helpful to me. They said, "Listen, I really think that you should try. At least try this. Go to your doctor. You just get a letter and take the application for the medical marijuana program. Take that to your doctor. Explain to him that this is, nothing else seems to work. So this is why I'm trying it. And would you be willing to write me a letter saying that my conditions meet the guidelines?" Which of course they did, big time. Well, he sat on it for a while, and I've been going to the guy for 10 years. I mean, we were friends. And he's a medical doctor, and he said, after about a week and a half, 2 weeks, he said, "Listen," he didn't do it. He had his helper do it, his office manager do it, after I had called and said, "Hey, I really need this." And I said, is there any way at all that we can kind of process this along? Because I don't know how long the whole process takes, but I need help. And finally, the person said, "Well, the doctor says that he is concerned about getting sued because he doesn't know that much about cannabis. And because he doesn't know much about cannabis, he's afraid that he can't advise you on it because he just doesn't know." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, but I provided all those links and all this information to help you help him, and so why wouldn't he just read it?" "Well, I mean, you never know that stuff. People get stuff off the internet, and it's kind of like the thing nowadays. But we know of a doctor who probably, he's the type, he would probably sign off on it." And I said, "I've had a 10-year relationship with this office and this doctor, and I thought we were friends. I can't imagine why he wouldn't talk to me himself." She says, "Well, he's very busy, as and blah, blah, blah." And, "Okay, well, thank you." And I never went back, and I feel bad because I really like the guy. But all of that to say this, that it's not just the medical community, and I get why they're reluctant. And, of course, you probably get that too. Look, they don't get money from cannabis. They don't get, the pharma doesn't – if anybody thinks that the whole big pharma doesn't control medicine, big pharma and insurance and medicine, I mean, they all work together, and they all work to each other's good. And unfortunately, not to the patient's betterment. So when you got the oil, or the first thing you started with and you started doing that, were you fearful? I mean, were you nervous about the police coming or other parents saying, "My gosh, you're the worst parent ever. I can't believe you would do this." Like the stigma
type
of thing.
Well, I wasn't. Yeah. Well, with our personal friends, we have a really deep connection with our friends. So with our friends, they knew the nightmare that we went through in the beginning. And so I only let a few close friends in on what we were doing. And it really, the only reason I even let them in on what we were doing was in case I did get caught. So I had this one friend, I actually explained to her the entire regimen of what I was giving Riley, so that if I were to get caught and if I were to get arrested, she could continue giving it to Riley. And I purposely left my husband out of the loop completely because he worked for the state and he's a teacher. And I knew if he got arrested, oh my gosh, we would lose everything. So I had even said to him, I said, "I don't want you to know anything. I don't even want you to know where it is in the house, because I want you to be able to pass a lie detector test." And so he actually didn't even, he might have accidentally seen it one or two times, but played dumb. But he never even saw me give it to her until after we came out in the public, because I was uncomfortable with him knowing anything, because I wanted to make sure if for some reason he got lie detector tested or anything, he would pass it. So I took a ton of precautions, and gosh, those friends that were ready to back me up, I love them to pieces, because they were willing to, take risks, because they could see the changes in my daughter. and how, you know, she was healing. So I wasn't really worried about anybody finding out, because the way that pediatric children are dosed is kind of, especially with THC, is a lot different than recreational type of use. They're not getting high. So for somebody to recognize the child is taking cannabis when they're taking it for medical reasons, people don't really, it's not something somebody would catch on to. So there might have been one time that somebody could have possibly thought she looks really sleepy. And that was like one mistake, because I accidentally like over measured a little bit. And really, on that day, her school nurse said to me, you know, because the school nurse was in communication with us at all times that those couple of years, and the school nurse said to me, you know, she seems really tired today. And I said, oh, okay, you know, I'll make sure that, you know, she gets more rest tonight. And that was the full extent of it. That was it. And so then when we started switching her over to more CBD, then she actually had more energy. So I definitely wasn't even worried at all. And when it comes to the hospital and the doctor's offices, because we were in an illegal state, I was even less worried with like them testing her, because she would have to pee on a test in order to be checked, because as far as the blood work, it's less likely that they would do a blood draw to check for drugs of that type. So it's more likely they would have her go, you know, go do a pee test, like the police would do, or for licensing and stuff like that. So that would be something that I would be there and I'd be like, oh, you know, no, she's not going to do that. Or I would deny letting them do that. So I wasn't like overly concerned, because she wasn't showing any kind of signs of being on cannabis. So it, you know, wasn't really like high on my radar of worrying about anything. So now
you haven't experienced her robbing any liquor stores or convenience stores or anything like that so far.
No, she's not. Yeah. She's not smoking, vaping, you know, doing any dabs yet.
Wow. Wow. Because
so, yeah,
based on
yeah,
what you hear, actually, you know, it's.
No, she says her prayers every night. She's very against alcohol, and also the Sprite.
Sure.
She calls it the Sprite store, which is actually a spirit store. And she's very against smoking, and she's a very conservative child. And so she has a lot of opinions on things, and you know, she sees good in everything. So she's definitely not a wild child.
Well, I think I think that for me, a couple of things that stick with me that I want to discuss with you, and I was able to determine that was in fact Ken, really brilliant man, and I know he probably had a great question or comment. But what we're doing is, just for the audience, just so you know, basically, our computer has essentially failed. It just can't handle all of this stuff anymore, and it's just too much for it. And it's several years old, and that is what it is. We can't afford another one, so we just have to roll this way. But I had to patch in the phone, and then patch in with Janie Madler, our wonderful, wonderful guest today. And so that's kind of how we're doing it. So I can't take calls because I don't know how to do it over the phone line. So we're probably maxing the phone out too. But all that said to say this, one thing that stuck out with me in your experience, and refresh my memory and the audience's memory, and maybe if they're just tuning in, it was the uncles that are police officers, and they were very against the cannabis for... aunt and uncle. And did they ever say why?
No, I would assume it's just because of their job. So I personally feel that, you know, there's a big difference between the law and what God has given us. And that you have to follow your conscience with what you can live with. So if, you know, I can live with breaking the law, but I can't live with losing my kids. So, you know, you have to make some tough decisions. And, you know, I have to
interject here. I can't be quiet any longer. It's just killing me.
Yeah.
I have to mm-hmm. say, Janie, I am so sorry that a segment of society valued their completely incorrect information. They're completely incorrect, total bias-driven, agenda-driven information that they've chosen to believe, that they placed that over. Even, you know what, I'll even say this, why not? Even if you have a cancer patient, I have a dear friend of mine, he might be listening, pray for him, his name is Chris Cahalan. I love this dude. I'm telling you, he's a great, great friend. He's been a great friend for a lot of years, since the 90s. And I have to tell you, you know, he's dealing with pancreas cancer, and he's had all the surgery that he can have, and he's taken all the drugs and all that stuff. And, you know, he and I have talked about cannabis, and he's not against it. But oddly enough, as air quotes progressive as Minnesota is, you're only allowed to have a certain amount of THC to cannabis mix. It's not even predicated upon what the proper percentages are.
Right.
It is predicated on more so what some arbitrary decision was based on, I don't know, some idiocy.
The legislators made the decision.
Yeah, they don't know anything about it. They don't know anything about cannabis right. or marijuana or THC or CBD or cannabidiol. They don't know any of that. They don't know about the endocannabinoid system. They don't know what it does. They don't even know what it is. They think it's a toy you can buy at some toy store. But then they'll legislate on these things, and it's absolutely exasperating. But I have to say, I am sorry that you had that experience with certain people who really should say, because I was saying about my friend Chris, take whatever you need to take. You've got something mm-hmm. that if you don't find a cure, it will kill you. And it won't take its time doing it. It won't be gentle doing it. Why not try something that so far in all of my research, now I'm coming on 3 years that I've been researching cannabis, that no one has died from it. The side effects are, gee, I'm sleepy, and do you have any Doritos? you know, so far I haven't found any problem that would generate any major concern. And I've looked at cases. I've interviewed people in Israel where mm-hmm. their kid was having 400 seizures a day, and now the kid doesn't have any.
Yeah.
Kid's going to school and loving life and playing and doing all these things because of cannabis. You say, well, that could be a placebo effect. And not only that, you know what else too? That could just be sort of a fluke. I mean, it could just be a fluke. It could be any number of other things. It could be any number of other things. So yeah, I don't think it's that. And, you know, I have to say, I just have to look at them and wrinkle up my face and say, wait a second, look at this kid. Look at this kid. And we have a good question. My friend, my great, great friend, Dave, been friends for decades. Quick question, is cannabis oil use reconciled with people in the drug and alcohol recovery? Maybe they are. And how might this impact the opioid crisis? And that's a great question, because what some people will say, and it's mostly police, they will say, and I wish I could get this woman on the phone. She is a Facebook friend, but I'll tell you, you know how it goes with 5,000 Facebook friends. Sometimes some of those friends become really real friends. And this is one, and her name is Monica. She's a substance abuse counselor. And she has said to me point blank and said to, you know, all of my followers, you know what? You're speaking out of your rear, not to be crude, negatively about cannabis, and especially in medical cannabis, because think about it. You don't even know what you're talking about when people say, well, that's fueling the heroin crisis. And gosh, you know, we've got an epidemic. And if these kids get on this or these people get on cannabis, then the next thing you know is they're going to be, that'll get boring for them. And then they'll get on heroin. And I'm telling you, I want to just pull my, not even my hair, I don't have that much left, I want to pull my teeth out. It's that bad. I'm that mad about it. And so I researched this, and I don't know if you have any expertise in this area, and we'll certainly let you answer, but I researched it, and I found that in Israel, guess what the number one thing they use for drug and alcohol treatment?
CBD.
Substance abuse treatment. CBD.
Yes, CBD.
It's one of the best withdrawal things. I just have to shake my head. People say, well, that's Israel. You know, other countries, they probably don't even have to go to college to be a doctor there. Probably somebody say a phrase in Hebrew and they become a doctor, which is opposite of it. They're leading the world in virtually everything because they've taken the restrictors off. They said, hey, let's go pedal to the metal here and let's find things that save lives. How about let's do that?
Yeah.
And they've done it. And so – but what input do you have on Dave's really, really excellent and very timely question about substance abuse recovery and treatment?
Yeah, so CBD affects the insula. Yeah, CBD actually affects the insula of the brain, which controls addiction. And so there are some studies that's showing that 600 milligrams of CBD can actually deactivate the insula. So.
No
That's
kidding.
My thoughts on it. The goal would be 600 milligrams if I had a loved one or a friend that had a severe addiction.
See, and a lot of what I've studied, and you know what's funny? We do have a comment here from chat, which we always have a very vibrant chat. Unfortunately, research in the United States was and is limited by Washington and Schedule 1, only produced in the University of Mississippi by one official sanctioned grow of inferior plants that are administered by the DEA for study, and they rarely, if ever, approve any for university or medical study. So when the government controls the I don't want to say controls the outcome, but in essence, when you control the input, you're going to control the outcome. When you say, okay, yeah, we're going to let you study it, but this is all we're going to let you do, well, then that's a problem.
Right.
It's just a problem.
Well, I did a study in my own home, so you can kind of do your own studies, which is it was a problem, but, you know, using your own kids as guinea pigs. So there are a lot of independent studies going on. My favorite people is Michelle Ross from the Impact Network, and she's doing a lot of studies right now. Let me look at her.
Impact Network, here. I'm writing this down.
Yeah. Impact Network in Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. We have someone actually in chat who was very involved. Was an activist and administrator for medical cannabis in Oregon, Michigan, and one of the earliest featuring Granny's List. And so he's witnessed what it's done in multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, arthritis, PTSD. It's interesting because I recommended it to a dear friend, very, very dear friend, whose husband has Parkinson's. And I think they're using very tiny amounts because they're nervous. I don't feel bad. The stigma doesn't really hit me if I'm using a little tiny amount. So they're afraid to really keep adding until they hit that most effective, lowest effective dose. And so that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have to go? Because I know you have a meeting and I know we got all messed up in the beginning. And so I don't want to mess you up with the stuff you've got going. You're doing important stuff.
That's okay. So what was your question about Parkinson's, though?
Well, I have a dear friend who her husband has Parkinson's. He's a wonderful, wonderful man, and great Christian woman, great Christian man. But unfortunately, you know, there's concern about the stigma. There's a concern about in the Christian community, in the conservative community, it's not viewed very positively, unfortunately. And so people, you know, and I knew when I came out, I'll just tell you, I knew when I came out as pro-cannabis that I was going to lose a lot of followers, that people were just going to bail from the ship. And I knew that was going to happen. And I just said, I'm either going to be truthful or I'm going to be popular. One of the two. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. Truthful or popular, and I can't be both. So anyway, as to Parkinson's, you know, I fear that probably, they're probably using way too little of mm-hmm. the CBD. And the CBD that I get, I don't know is even if it's good. Look, I'm in the medical marijuana program, and I only buy it at the, you know, you can only buy it one place. Well, there's two right. places now, compassion centers, they call them. And they're very mm-hmm. highly regulated. They're very security. Yeah, and I go to the one in Lewis now, and mm-hmm. or I guess Nassau or whatever they call it. But I guess the Lewis address. But I can't afford it but about every 90 or more days. I can't take it effectively because I can't afford mm-hmm. it. And so, and to be honest, to be very fair to them, nothing against them, but sometimes it's very inferior. I hate to say it, but it's very government regulated, and I don't know how much they tested or anything like that. But I don't know that that's always the best place for me to get it. I wouldn't get it from an illegal place, obviously. But at the same time, where can you recommend? I mean, I know you don't do product endorsements, but people have to know, well, okay, well, what, you know, what do we do here?
Yeah.
Where do we get what we know is effective?
Well, as far as the dosing, because there's not a lot of help with dosing in this state. So I work with different doctors where they will send me their patients for dosing help because the doctors don't know what to do. So there's a couple of doctors in the state that'll send me people, and also dispensaries throughout the U.S. will send me people, and I will help them. Parkinson's is one of the things that I work with. I work with wasting syndrome, pain, glaucoma, Tourette syndrome. Autism is like my specialty, and osteoporosis, bone regeneration. Like, we have a whole big list. Even schizophrenia. I work with schizophrenia patients, catatonia, and a lot of people with dual diagnosis. So,
Well, that, I mean, my issues, just everybody knows this, my issues are pain. I have seizures. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of pain, a lot of inflammation, and very high blood pressure. I mean, we're talking, it's been as high as 305 over 295. So, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to, I'm kind of trying, you know, I don't even know.
So because you have seizures and you have the pain and the high blood pressure, you would need CBD, THCA, and you need a balm, because probably THC orally, sublingually would probably increase your seizure activity. Is that correct? Does the THC increase your seizure activity?
I've tried some tinctures, and mm-hmm. they really, I haven't felt anything, honestly. And I don't know if I have a high threshold or what, but I don't feel anything, nothing at all. The ones I've tried have been from the Compassion Center, and there's been, other than they burn the bottom of my tongue because they got the alcohol, I guess they use that, the tincture. But, and then I use a CBD oil that has no THC in it, and I don't know what that does or doesn't do, but I know I have the vape machines and all that stuff. I don't know what else really to do. So your kind of expertise would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but I know when I use the CBD and when I use the cannabis, vaping or otherwise, mm-hmm. I can tell you I have fewer seizures. My seizure activity is better and my pain is better. It's about 30% less if I'm faithful on
it. Cool. Okay. Yeah, that's good. All right. Yeah, we can. I can help you with all that. So
awesome.
I haven't been
in a
little while, so I'm not sure of what products they have. So.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because they're out of a lot of stuff a lot, and who knows, but, you know, and I just don't know. I mean, I tell them point blank, I ask them at the counter, I say, look, you know, here's my, and they have all your, just so people understand, it's not, you're not at some corner and some guy's walking up with a coat and he opens his coat, here, you want some of this? It's nothing like that. It's very mm-hmm. professional. It's very high security. It's very highly regulated. The people are super nice. They're not a bunch of potheads, mm-hmm. you know. Been around eating Doritos. They are very professional about what they do, and it's amazing, really, how they do it. It is just amazing. They have your medical records. in order for you to even get in the program, the medical records have to be thoroughly reviewed. You have an intake where you talk up to an hour. My intake was an hour with the person there. It's kind of the special, but obviously you have way more knowledge even than they do. So what a tremendous resource and blessing. I want to ask you just a couple more questions because I know you have a meeting. How do you, and I picked up on a little bit of this when you were dealing with the person, the autism, and they were like, oh, you're the one. How do you deal with people who are just vehemently anti-cannabis? And for whatever reason, they don't care. They're just anti, period. How do you deal
usually
with that?
Usually their feelings are very deeply rooted. So I usually don't even deal with them because they're so deeply rooted. I am probably not going to be that person that's going to change their mind if they come at it with like an angry disposition. Now, if we're sitting at a table and their questions are brought forth and they are asking me questions that let me know that they're kind of on the fence or they're a little bit against it, then I can probably break through to them. But you can usually get a feel as to whether this is something that is so deeply rooted from their childhood that you are not going to break down that barrier. It has to touch them personally, like it did me. Before my daughter got sick, I would have never thought of, I probably would have been completely against marijuana. I can't really say, but I think I would have been against it. I have never smoked it. I have, I didn't know what a dab was probably until like 5 months ago, to tell you the truth. Because
I don't know what a dab is, so.
Yeah, well, I didn't
what
know
is a
either
dab?
Until I. So apparently people use blow torches and they heat up this piece of metal and they have this glass. I don't really know how to explain what it is, but I did not know until I went to Colorado in February and I saw people with blow torches. And I'm like, what in the world is that? And they said, that's a dab. And I was like, that's what a dab is. So I never even knew what that was. So I am very naive, and because I strictly know things about medical cannabis and I know things about pediatric cannabis. And so that is my whole world, is pediatric medical cannabis. I don't have a clue. If somebody told me to roll a joint or I'm going to die, I'm probably going to die. So I would not know how to do it. And I've watched people do it, and it looks like art to me what they're doing, because I have no clue how they're doing it. So my business partner just texted me and is laughing at me because I said something about dab. They think it's funny that I'm so so naive about it. They've been in the business.
Well, I am too. So we're on the same team. Virtual high five to you, because I'm the same boat.
Yeah.
I still don't know what it is. But they talk about it like it's a great thing. So I don't know. What do I know?
Yeah, I know. I know people.
Well,
talk
what would
about
you say?
Like it's awesome.
Tell me about the autism thing. I really am curious about that. Because you mentioned that you're really a specialist in dealing with autism and the connection there. And I have friends that have, it seems like autism is a growing thing. Either it's what something's causing more autism, or we're just more aware, you know. I don't know.
Right. So what happened with us? Now, my husband, he specializes in autism, and I don't know if some of his specialty rubbed off on my brain, or when he was going through college, me writing all of his papers did this, I don't know. But autism seems to be like my niche. Even though my daughter does not have autism, for some reason something clicked. And when I started taking courses in cannabis, I've taken so many. I have like a stack of CMEs and papers on cannabis. But something kept bringing me back to autism. And where she has a brother who is on the spectrum, we were in they were in third, she's a twin. They were in third grade. And at that point, he still had a therapist. He still had an IEP. He was in a special program, even though he was in a regular education classroom. And one day in his IEP, he had to work on aggression. He had to work on like some social skills, and he had a ton of stuff. OCD, he had a ton of stuff he had to work on. And one day, one of the things that some autistic kids do is they put things in their mouth that they're not supposed to do. If you have like pills laying around or what, they just pick it up and eat it, and it's not even theirs. So Riley's medicine was laying on the counter, and he picked it up and took it. And I just thought, oh, well, it's not going to hurt him. So his therapist the next day said that he had raised his hand appropriately, answered questions, and he'd had a wonderful day. So it just, something clicked. I'm like, wait a minute. So that was in third grade, and I just started talking to him about it. He had not slept. He had restless leg syndrome. He had such bad GI issues that they wanted to do a Nissan surgery, which would lift his stomach and wrap the top part of his stomach around his esophagus. And I was so nervous about that surgery that I just didn't want to have it done. And so I just kept putting it off. He had the whole workup for it. And so I started thinking, you know what, all it is raw plant. That's all this. Every once in a while, I would give it to him to help him sleep, like on the weekends. And he would just come to me and say, that stuff makes my brain slow down. It makes me feel better. And so I would just start giving it to him more regularly. His grades, before he was getting C's and he was just really struggling, all of a sudden he started getting straight A's. And he started making friends. He never had friends before. He had like, his friends were kids that picked on him. That they were bullies. You know, that was his, what he thought were friends. And so he started having relationships. He started developing empathy. And our next step was we got him off his IEP. We got him out of the consortium. And then we just, you know, started moving forward, and he's had straight A's. He's been on the honor roll. This coming year, he's going to be in honors classes. And he's not without his quirks. He's still a quirky little kid. He's 11. But I mean, he has a very good, solid friendship, which, you know, kids who are on the spectrum don't normally have friends. And we can take him out in social settings, and he's a fun kid. He's, you know, you can go to the mall and say, hey, walk around and go shopping, but take your phone and find me. You know, I used to worry about him. I used to think he's going to live with us the rest of his life. You know, we're going to be stuck with this one. And I have absolutely no worries about this kid now. And you know, when we take him to different shows that I have to speak at, you know, he will walk around and he will talk to people. He might not look you in the eye because he does have a lot of social awkwardness, but, you know, he has really made a lot of changes, and he's, you know, he still has some behaviors. He's not perfect. And still when we go to doctors, you know, he will act very awkward because he doesn't know them. And they will try to hand us Adderall, you know, prescriptions. And I just kind of shove them in my purse and throw them away when I get out to the car. But, you know, because he has autism in his record. But, you know, he's doing great. So, but we, you know, we took a lot of his successes. And then we have a lot of friends who have autistic kids. And so we started working with them, and it just grew. And then before I knew it, it went from 100 kids that I'd helped to 200 to 300 to 400. And so right now I'm a little bit over 400, and I take everything that I've done to help them and I track it. And I try to figure out like what has helped each kid. And it helps you create kind of a little bit of a database as to what is working for these kids and what will work, what will not work. And so then when I get a phone call from a mom and she gives me like, you know, all of the information I need for a kid, I can pretty much just right away, like kind of spit out exactly what she needs to do. And, you know, 80% of the time, within 2 weeks, she's got a different kid on her hands. So,
wow. Have you ever heard anything as it relates to kids with digestive issues? I know of a particular young man. He's, I think, 16 now, but he's one of twins, and Joe actually knows the family real well. The grandfather and grandmother are great friends of mine, and so are the parents. But he's I think it's like a 5-year thing where he's just been in and out of the hospital. He's been all over the world, everything. And yes. I think that they tried cannabis oil, but I think that if there was some benefit and you knew of how to do it with that, it would be helpful to them because they've tried everything. He's been in the hospital for months at a time, and it's just awful.
He just put me in contact.
Nobody can figure out how to help him.
Right. He just put me in contact with somebody, and I think it might be that person.
I think so too. Mom has a blog.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Boom. Praise God. That's an answer to prayer. Because as I started talking to you, I was like, oh man, if this can help him and help his family, boy, I'm all over it.
Right.
Well, you know, the thing is with children, I look at children differently than I look at grown folk. Grown folk, you know, look, you can do your worst to me. I've been down the road. I've had lots of terrible things happen to me, many of which are self-imposed, my own self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. And so, you know, and that's okay. I've lived a good life. I'm going to try the best I can to do what I can to help my situation, mostly to help the people around me. But I have to say, when it comes to kids and it comes to old people, I think to myself, man, why would you withhold this? What would be the motivator to withhold this thing that the side effects are a joke? I mean, it's not even funny. You watch a commercial, a pharma commercial on television, and half the commercials reserved for the side effects. And I think, you know, oh, you may want to commit suicide. Oh, you may want to this. Oh, you may want to that. And I do a lot of work with PTSD. I don't say PTSD. I say PTS because it's absolutely curable. It is event related, and we can make great strides in it. And so I counsel veterans free of charge, combat veterans all across the country. And in that, lots is being found out to the positive for them with PTS. I mean, it is making a major, major difference. So when you see people who they just want help, they don't want to cause any problems. They don't want to, you know, have a big problem in society. They don't want a big deal. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. They're not pushing for some cause where, you know, everybody's just going to sit around. One of the folks in chat who I have a great deal of respect for, very knowledgeable on cannabis, zero people have died from consuming too much cannabis medically. Zero. And I think to myself, there are people that are terminal with cancer who, if they had somebody like you to advise them and they had the cannabis to help them and they could have relief in the waning years or months or days of their life, why wouldn't we do that? I just don't understand it. The same society that wants to have assisted suicide, you know, a drive-up assisted suicide practically, they don't want to make this available to good people that are in the worst moments of their life. I just don't understand it. I really, really don't. And that's a frustration that I have. Well, listen, you've been a phenomenal guest. And again, I have to apologize for our system here. We just had a major, major problem with it, and not sure how we'll resolve it, but the point is we're so thankful that you stayed in the batter's box and you were willing to hang in there. I'd love to have you on again to talk more specifically about some things. And obviously I want to open it up for callers because I can't take callers because I'm working through a tether here. But I really, really appreciate it. And I know our audience does. Where can our audience learn more about what you're doing and maybe even how to help?
All right. Well, on Facebook, we have Riley's Sunshine, R-Y-L-I-E-S, with an apostrophe, Sunshine. And we're soon going to have our website up. That'll be the same, RileySunshine.com. We should have the website up in a week.
Awesome. I've got it right now. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm following, I'm liking. See how easy that was. Come on. Easy
yeah.
peasy.
Easy.
Easy peasy.
Yep. And we have a 6-minute return time on messages. So we get back to you very quickly.
Wow. That's way better than me. Way, way better than I get back to people. Gosh, now I'm humbled. Well, thank you so much, Janie. You have been amazing. And I'm so thankful to our friend Joe that to us, and I will be speaking to you directly. I would love any help that you'd be willing to provide me, any education, any of that, because I need help, let's face it. So thank you so much. What an awesome, awesome privilege it has been to have you on, and it's just an honor that you would take the time. I know this was very, very last second, and you know what? You've been awesome, and you've done great. Obviously, you're really good at this.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to talking again and taking questions next time. That'll be great.
It's my pleasure. We'll get this thing fixed up. Take good care. Have a great evening.
Nice.
Well, there you have it. There you have it, America. There is what there's the real deal here, folks. It is one of those things that you just have to look at and say, hey, you know, we got to face facts here. I know my buddy Dave is helping me, and he must be losing his mind at this point because I've done no ads or anything like that. And you know, we're working on a shoestring here. I'm not even going to be able to finish the show today, unfortunately, because there's something wrong with the computer and it's just crapping out. If you want to help us in what we do, you want to partner with us, there's a donate page at theninjapastor.com, theninjapastor.com, or DrShawnGreener, drshawngreener.com. You go to those, and bada boom, bada bing, you're in like Flynn, you'll be good to go. And you can donate whatever you feel comfortable with. It's very safe. It's through PayPal. Everything goes back into what we do, into our ministry, our Sundays with Dr. Sean, and today's show. And, you know, obviously in a case like this, we would take money and start putting it toward replacing the computer because that's apparently what the problem is. And so if you say, well, hey, you know, I'm not into donating, but, you know, maybe I'd like to get something. Now, if you donate a certain amount of money, we'll give you – I'm into photography, so it's one of my passions. And so we sell our work on – it's https://... Sean M, SHAWNM dash Greener, GREENER dot pixels.com. You go to that and if you just type in Sean M dash Greener dot pixels.com, it'll take you to it. Go to my Facebook, go to my website, theninjapastor.com. Do that and you will find that. And you can buy fine art, photography, you can buy landscapes, you can buy, you name it, it's on there. We add to it all the time. And you can pick your frame, you can pick whether you want it on acrylic, whether you want it on canvas, wood, tin, you can have it put on a carry bag, you can have a phone case made out of it. That's just cool as all get out. There's so many cool things you can do. And you say, well, you know, I don't want to just hand you money, so how about I buy something, you give me something. Well, tell you what, it's a tiny amount. You'll find the prices there are very, very, very reasonable. And when you go there, you'll see for what you get, you kind of are like, well, how are they affording this? It's shipped to your door. It's very well protected. And it's just a really super cool thing. Again, it's https://... Sean M, SHAWNM-Greener, GREENER, PIXELS.com, and you'll be able to do that. And I want you to understand that everything goes to keeping this thing afloat. I never expected this thing to ever take off. I certainly never expected 1.6 million listeners. We have over 200,000 listeners now on Sundays. I never expected that. And so we just don't have the resources ourselves to continue to do it ourselves. That's just all there is to it. And not to whine, but that's just the facts. And so if you have any interest in helping us, you have the ability to help us, then certainly please do. You will have our great gratitude. If you do donate, you get a book. I wrote a book called Excellence Killed the Church, How Mediocrity is Destroying America. You get a signed autographed book there, and I inscribe it for you. And then over a certain amount, you actually get a book that we make for you, custom make for you, like a coffee table book with my photographs in it and scriptures and stuff. So we would love to have your help, and we would love to amp up what we do and reach more people. That is for sure, and be more effective in what we do. We really send out a great thank you to Janie Madler. She is absolutely a stunning human being, and what she's doing with her daughter is amazing, helping people all over the country. Look, this is an amazing thing, and we need to support things like that. When things are this good, you gotta talk about it. Now, let me say this in closing, and I just want to be real direct about this. I know I probably end up losing half of my audience today. I know that I will. I know how it works. Every time I talk about something that the conservative Christians, obviously I'm a conservative Christian speaker and pastor and author and radio guy. And so when you hear a guy being pro-cannabis and certainly pro-medical cannabis, you might be one of those people that says, you know what? No way, man. I'm sorry. I'm not down with that. I am just not down with that. And as a result, I'm voting hard no. Well, you know what happened with that fella that Janie had to deal with that was really negative about it? And she said, hey, you know, just look at this. And then if you want to talk more, we'll talk more. I understand why, you know, you're having a struggle. But from there, it just is. And then he came around. I mean, he had education. So if you're one of those people that is going to, you know, no longer listen or no longer support what we do, I get it, man. I get it. It's a controversial thing. It's a hard thing. Even in my home state, look, there's Christian conservative leaders who thought I was the best thing since sliced bread. As soon as they found out I was pro-cannabis, bailed and tried to get a group of people against me within that same community. Oh, we can't have this guy. He's off the reservation. Fact matters. Let me take this call real quick. Hopefully it's somebody got something clean to say. I don't know that it'll work. Let me give it a try. That doesn't look like so. Hello, this is Dr. Sean.
Yeah, how you doing?
Who are we speaking to?
Yeah,
good,
this is
good.
Not,
who are we speaking to?
I'm actually listening right now. I didn't press one to join. I was just listening for that.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, I'll cut you loose, man. I just didn't want to be disrespectful to you. You're kind enough to listen in. I appreciate it. So,
Well, sorry, man.
Well, we lost him. Listen, our screen is fading and everything's fading here. So, we'll have to do the other half. Maybe I'll do another show tomorrow or Friday evening. I'll let you know. Again, terribly sorry for all the problems we're having with the system. We're hoping to replace it at some point real soon. We just have to have the resources. But listen, God bless you all. Thank you for your patience. It means a lot to me that you hung in there. And we will talk to you real soon. God bless.
Join us next time for the collision of faith and politics. And please follow this show at www.blogtalkradio.com/TheNinjaPastor. And follow Dr. Sean on Twitter at TheNinjaPastor and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/GodInCountryRadio and at www.drseangreener.com. In the meantime, Dr. Sean will be fighting for you and for this great country. Thank you for joining in this fight.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.